Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay. Gay? Gay excused. Gingery. Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt. Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparic.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen.
Excuse.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Here.
Petrov.
Here.
Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Shepperson.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Bronish.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
57 present, 3 excused. That's for me.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are eternally grateful for the privilege of living in this great state. Make us worthy of the heritage that has been entrusted to us. Be with us this Friday morning at the end of our week, that we may be our very best and prove ourselves worthy of your grace and love. Be with us today in our work and in our deliberations, that we may merit the trust bestowed upon us by the citizens of Wyoming. Let not impatience or haste cloud our judgment and our discernment. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. With you, all things are possible. Guard and protect all of your people under the shadow of your outstretched wings. May all glory be yours now and forever. Amen.
We're at that order of business journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 17th, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparik, Representative Freeman.
And doctor of the day is Robert Monger from here in Cheyenne, and nurse of the day, Jamie Matthews from Northwest Community College in Powell. Welcome. Representative Kasparik.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I would like to draw all your attention to the lady in purple at the front of the room, my favorite granddaughter, Macy Kasparik, who will be our page today.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, it's not always that there's someone that comes from Ithaca to come visit us. To my left, we have some students from the Wind River Tribal College, the government class, accompanied by their instructor, Carol Justice. We have Theron Spoonhunter, Nicholas Baring, Jamie Washakie, Bert Whiteplume, and none other than Aleha Spoonhunter. Let's welcome them to the house.
Welcome to the House. Representative Petroff.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Up in the gallery, we have members of the best Leadership Wyoming class of the second decade of Leadership Wyoming, headed by Bill Schilling.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege, please.
Please proceed.
Last evening, I didn't do a very good job of explaining the handout that was circulated that looks like this. And if you have any questions about it, please see me. We're going to try to get the aides to get through the crowd today before you split for your return home. It's an important place to have your signature supporting our pushback on some overreach by EPA.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I have the privilege of the floor, please?
Please proceed.
Over on my right is my little girl that I helped raise, my next-door neighbor, Amy Rollins, and her husband, Ben. They're university students. They're here trying to see what we're doing and how we're functioning. So Ben and Amy Skinner now.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you, members. I would like to introduce you to a couple members of my family that are up to see if we do any work. My sister-in-law, Diane Malera, and my nephew, Jake, who's a fifth grader. They're from Colorado, but my wife, who's very sensitive about these things, wanted me to make sure you knew that Diane is actually a sixth-generation Wyomingite. So.
We're at that order of business reading and signing of enrolled acts. Senate Enrolled Act 35.
Senate Enrolled Act number 35 being original Senate File 81,
an act relating to water development projects be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 35 being original Senate file 81. I have so signed. Senate enrolled act 36.
Senate enrolled act number 36 being original Senate file 103. An act relating to water development being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About signed enrolled act number 36 being original Senate file 103. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 37.
Senate Enrolled Act number 37, being original Senate File 94, an act relating to immunity, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 37, being original Senate File 94. I have so signed. We're at that order of business, introduction, reading, and reference of bills. First and only bill for our consideration is Senate File 1.
Senate File 1, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to supplemental...
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
And Senate File 1 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. We're at that order of business. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 93, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace. Sign representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 124, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Vranish, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Korberg, Chairman.
At that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 101 is off the consent list. Mr. Speaker, I move a consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate File 7, 14, 16, 36, 39, 48, 57, 59, 88, 89, and 150.
Would anyone like to remove any of the bills from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 7, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the state fair, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 14, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to county commissions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 16, introduced by School Facilities, an act relating to school facilities adequacy assessment, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 36, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to public schools seclusion and restraint in schools, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 39, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding aquatic invasive species reciprocity, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 48, introduced by the Wildlife and Natural Resource Committee, an act relating to Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Fund Board, Account Board, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 57, introduced by Senator Anderson, an act relating to the 100th anniversary of the state fair, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 59, introduced by Senator Escobel, an act relating to Wyoming Controlled Substances Act regarding spice drugs, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 88, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to crimes and punishment regarding expungement of nonviolent felonies, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 89, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to adult protective services, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 150, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to notaries, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Patton. Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace. Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 7, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 14, are there any changes? Goggles, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 16, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 36, are there any changes? Greer, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 51 aye, 7 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 39, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 48, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 57, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 59, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 88, are there any changes? Korberg, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Braunisch, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Crone, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Barbudo, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 43 aye, 15 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 89, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 150, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
You good? Okay. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 7, 14, 16, 36, 39, 48, 57, 59, 88, 89, and 150 have passed the House. We're at that order of business bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 71.
Senate File 71, introduced by Senator Christensen, an act relating to education regarding hunter safety courses, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to read third reading amendment number one, the House or Senate File 71. Folks, I just want to make one more pitch in talking to the good senator across the hall whose bill this is. He just wanted us to remind, say, a few more things and give you one more chance to think about this. We have heard from some schools, and I think there are some legitimate concerns. I think the working with the State Department and with the Game and Fish, those concerns could be overcome. But because of our outdoor rural, just our heritage, I guess, and the number of guns that we have around that we've discussed, I think it is a safety issue, and if we could get these fifth grade and sixth grade kids a chance to have this class that might not get to have the class, it would just be, I'm thinking it would be a good thing, and I'm hoping as some of the folks are raising, it wouldn't be a big detriment to the education, the core classes, of course, we're most interested in, the reading, writing, arithmetic, and so forth. I'm one of those guys that taught those classes, so I don't want to interfere. I don't think 12 hours and where we don't have to have every kid enrolled, we have to have the chance. I think it would help some kids that don't have the right home situations to be exposed to these ideas, these thoughts, just make them better. So I just give you one more chance to think about this, and we'll just have a vote and take what you get, take what you give us. Thank you.
Chairman Simlick, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, we did have this discussion yesterday, and I think it was vetted pretty fully, and I haven't changed my mind, and perhaps many of you haven't either. And the only thing that's really changed is an opportunity for me to get some additional input from some of the districts, the school districts that I represent. And quickly, a message from one of the superintendents. He said, on the hunter safety issue, I feel districts should be given an option to offer it and not have it mandated. As you probably hear, we continue to put more requirements on our teachers' plates, and mandating this to be offered only means we'd have to look critically at freeing up some other time elsewhere. As we continually try to pull in science, social studies, and integrated technology, sometimes something would have to give up by adding hunter safety. This is the way I see it. I am an avid hunter, and my own kids like shooting. I have plenty of opportunities to give them hunter safety outside the school setting. And members of the body, that really captures my feelings. And as a school district trustee a number of years ago, I would be somewhat offended by having this shell language on this issue. I want to support, and I do support hunter safety courses. I don't support that we make it mandatory for districts to offer those courses. If I'm going to support this bill, which I want to, I cannot support this amendment. So I'd ask you also not to do the same. Thank you.
Representative Brecko, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for the amendment, all of us really hold a high value for our Second Amendment rights, and I think that, and speaking for myself, having had the hunter safety course in grade school, it certainly heightened my awareness of the need to treat these things with a high level of respect, and that's the sort of thing that I hope that we put a lot of emphasis on in preventing injury to people across the state, potentially even death. Typically, these things are done after hours by volunteers. It's a canned course. I can't see that this really creates a lot of onus to make sure that it's at least being offered. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Burkhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, we need to remember we're trying to encourage industry to come to Wyoming. A lot of these people don't have our background and our history of the outdoors, of hunting, of safe handling of firearms. Many of these kids are curious. And without an adequate outlet for that curiosity, it can lead to a lot of problems. I know a number of people who've moved to Wyoming in the last few years whose children have never handled a firearm. And when they go to someone else's house, that curiosity can be very deadly to those children. So this is a safety issue, and I think it's one that deserves our consideration. Again, on and for the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Blickery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, it's not the purview of us as legislators to decide what curriculum should be in schools. That's the purview of local school boards. Thank you.
Chairman McComey, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I was a no on this bill simply because I don't believe that we should be dictating to our local school boards what kind of the curriculum should be. The May makes it almost palatable, but I'll probably be a no on the vote, even with the amendment.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just realized that we've taken music out of the schools, we've taken art out of the schools, and we're replacing it with gun safety. I'm just wondering what kind of message that sends to the children and the people who actually send their children to these institutions to learn something. I'm on and against the amendment, on and against the bill.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, as a former member, school board member, I always looked at mandates as being told what to do. And by mandating this particular curriculum to our schools, we're basically telling school boards, school administrators, you have to do this. On the other hand, by using the word shall and mandating, we basically take the volunteerism out of it. We take the creativity out of it. Big brother telling little brother what to do, I would encourage you to vote no.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm offended by the connotation that we've taken anything out of our school system. We have art, we have music. I don't know where that's coming from. The reason why I am on and against the amendment is because I think that it mandates curriculum. And I believe in our Constitution, if you'll read it very carefully, that the legislature is specifically prohibited from mandating curriculum, and I think that bill does this. There is only one set of classes available. When you say hunter safety, that connotates a curriculum. If you wanted to say gun safety, that's probably a safer way to do it, or you could make some sort of reference to the fact that we should teach gun safety. But I think the bill is, with the shall, is quite frankly, could be unconstitutional. So I would urge you to vote no.
Chairman Harvey, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In favor of the amendment and opposed to the bill, how much are we going to take away from parents? I can tell you some wonderful stories about my dad teaching me how to handle a gun. I can tell you about the first time I got a scope kiss right between the eyes. I can tell you about some of the fun things that we did as a family. How much are we going to take away from families? If this is important to families, if you live in an area that guns are important, then great. But why is it the responsibility of the school? I mean, we just seem to keep allowing and, in fact, encouraging parents to not parent their children. I mean, we've gone from serving them a hot lunch to serving them a hot breakfast, too. And shall we give them a bath when they get there? I mean, how far are we going to go? If guns are important to your house, if guns are important in your family, in your area, if hunting is important, there are a lot of programs out there. I personally, even after those wonderful memories, just don't like guns, and I don't use them. But it doesn't mean that that's not part of my upbringing or what my dad thought was important for me to learn. I don't think it's important for the schools to teach every single thing. Sometimes we have to just let parents be parents. And sometimes kids don't get absolutely educated on every single thing. Well, that's what creates diversity. On and in favor of the amendment, but opposed to the bill.
Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I was generally against this bill when it started because of the curriculum argument. And yet, those that speak against this amendment are the same sorts that are going to be against any sort of gun rights, or at least we're going to get all in a Twitter when we worry about people out there that don't know how to use guns, and they're going to shoot themselves in the foot, they're going to hurt somebody else, and so we can't give them the right to bear arms. And I think the good speaker from wherever he's from, district number five, I think he might have hit the nail on the head when he talked about this is a, when you talk about the right to bear arms, it is a constitutional right. And I think maybe it's almost a course in constitutional law to learn what a gun is. And I kind of like that concept because that makes sense to me. I want everybody out there to appreciate which end of the gun is right and wrong and what you use them for and what you don't use them for. So I guess I kind of view this as a way of getting started. And I challenge those of you that do not like to give people the right to bear arms or at least want to inhibit it to consider this as a way to make sure that when they do get it, that they use it correctly. So I guess I don't know whether I'm going to be on or for the bill, but I'm on and for the amendment. Thank you.
For the first time, Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to gently push back on my colleague from the Senate of the State. I don't think this has anything really to do with the Second Amendment. And I think we're losing sight of the amendment and the bill. We start talking like that. And I think some of the folks who got up and spoke against this amendment probably own more than the 9.2 guns per household, myself included. So I just I don't appreciate that, and I don't think that's even the issue. This body has time and time again supported our Second Amendment rights. Now, about the bill, I guess, you know, this amendment was succeeded by 39 votes yesterday, and then we come back with just a repeal on it. No other ideas or compromise or anything else. I think the important thing is, you know, we sit here and we brought bills in which we've supported to pushing back against the federal government. And here we are doing the same thing to duly elected school boards that we so detest by Congress. And we need our local school boards. They're not arms of the state. They have their own liability issues. They have their own constitutional place in this whole system. And so let those folks who are closest to the people respond to the customer's needs. This is already being done in a lot of our schools, and it will continue to be to respond to the customers, the parents, and the kids' desires. And so with that, on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment and for the bill as amended. And I'm all for hunter safety. I'm all for gun safety. I'm all for Second Amendment rights. But I think the good chairman of education made the point about mandating educational programs. That's the first big thing that you need to understand. And the other thing, respecting parents' rights, we're respecting parents' rights by saying may. And I think that's important to do that. So vote against the amendment and vote for the bill.
First time, second time prior to this first time, Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
I just had a question for the good bringer of the amendment. If the amendment goes down and then there's just may in there, and maybe this is more for someone who, I don't know how all this works with local school boards. If it just says may, is that something that they already have the ability to do, or do they need this bill still? Does this bill still help them? Or can you just do it on your own? I'm just curious about the may part. If the bill even means anything at that point.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Aggie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think a lot have said that the may is more palatable, and I can sure respect that. I don't want to be burdensome to any school district. I do think it's about safety. I think there's some kids that don't have the chance that will not get the chance. But if we can, if you want shall, then, you know, vote for it. If you want may, I think the may is still, I would suggest if it passed with may that we have this, the game and fish working with the local districts and trying to do what a lot of you are saying. So it isn't a point to die on right here. I do think it's a good idea, and I stand in favor of it, but I sure respect the wishes of the body. Thank you.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 71, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment fails. Senate File 71, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo, Berger, Blake,
aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Bonner,
no.
Botten,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
no.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
no.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison excused, Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
Gay
excused, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
no.
Miller, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
aye.
Patterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brown, no to aye. McComey, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 71, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 71 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 101.
Senate File 101, introduced by Senator Coe, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 101 and would ask for your aye vote. We had a good conversation during the budget process about the University of Wyoming and issues related to remediation dealing with Hathaway Scholarship. This amendment is an attempt to drill down further and get more information that I think would be very useful to the committee as we move forward in directing policy, specifically with implementation of the Hathaway Scholarship. We are going to require that the University of Wyoming, in consultation with the community colleges, research and report back to the committee, the standing committee, about the process of standardizing remediation requirements. It's something that we have got to take a serious look at. Right now, we have different remediation programs and different benchmarks from community college to community college and also with the university. That's something that definitely needs to be standardized, and I hope that we can come closer to that with that Romanet I. Romanet 2 deals with recommendations for improving student completion data. That's something that we, with the amount of money that we're investing in the Hathaway Scholarship, I would like for us to be able to drill down further as to why we're not getting the sorts of completion data that we need. If we need to look at raising the ACT scores or other things within the success curriculum, we need their recommendations. Romanet 3 deals with the description of the services that are available to students. We need to make sure that we are providing the sort of support that students need to be successful in college, especially with the amount of investment that we've made. I would urge your aye vote on the amendment.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is something that has bothered me for a long time. We really need this. I truly believe that these students that go there could use some counseling and some help, and they could do better. And I don't believe they're getting it. I think, and I don't believe that we're getting it even as it's coming out of high school, going into this. So I really rise in strong support of this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Second time. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 101, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 101 has been adopted. Senate File 101 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Ferd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Harvey,
aye. Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Krohn,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson, Stewart,
aye.
Stebson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
Senate File 101, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 101 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 108.
Senate File 108, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to banks and banking regarding remote electronic terminals, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In case you haven't figured out, I really don't like this legislation at all. But after talking to some of my colleagues in this body, I've come to a consensus, and I think compromise is at hand. So I believe that amending this to $3, which is halfway between what I don't like and where I feel a little bit comfortable, is a good move. So I would recommend that you vote aye for the amendment. Thank you.
Please move the amendment.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 108.
Thank you. Anyone else for the first time? Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, speaking on in behalf of the amendment, and I would ask you to vote aye, I would tell you, speaking as a consumer as well as a representative, not all of my fellow consumers have the access to credit cards where they don't supposedly incur any fees. But let me remind you, there is no such thing as a free lunch these days. And again, this is open-ended legislation, and I would say it's near-class legislation of a particular economic class of folks that are restricted to using debit cards. And we are, through this legislation, allowing an industry to set what they decide as the market value or the market rate, which is open-ended at this point. And let me point out to you, the largest gambling city in the United States has a variance of debit card transaction fees from $5 to $10. In our nation's capital, the debit card fee is $7.50. And where does it end? For the person that's the consumer that wants to take $40 out of an ATM machine has to pay $4. You know, that's a large percentage of that $20. So I think the $3 amendment here is a start. If the industry would like to raise that again next year, have them come back again. But I have really not seen any research or data, and I wasn't in committee, but I think it's our duty to protect our consumers. On and for the amendment.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise on and against the amendment, and I would like to look at it this way. If you set it at 3, it will move to 3. If you allow the free market to work, people will drive themselves to the lowest, highest quality offering that's out there. Somebody may want to compete on this and say everybody else is maybe someone's going to go to 5, but someone is going to put an ATM right next to that and say, I'm going to go to 1. And that's the way that free market capitalism works. And that's at every night at 5 o'clock with the business show with the peacock in the lower right hand corner teaches us that free market capitalism is the fastest path to prosperity. And I tell you that you set this at 3 and that's where it's going to be. So you essentially legislated it up a dollar rather than letting the market decide.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. Mr. Speaker, I belong to an organization that has placed ATMs around different places, and we have reached agreements with nationwide banking institutions that we can go to their ATMs and get money from them for nothing. Something that we've done for our members. So I think trying to mess around, I think the free market will drive this, as was just previously stated. And I think most lending institutions not only use it as a way to generate money, but also as benefit to their members.
Representative Ronish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've looked at this bill a little different ways. Number one, I think we need to protect the consumer, and I think we also have a duty to protect our banks, our local, our small banks. There's no such thing as a free lunch, that's been said. And they all need to get a reasonable fee. No one has any problems with reasonable fees. $3, I think, is a very good maximum reason. The reason why they want to raise it, they don't like the $2 want to get and abolish it, is because They want to raise their fees higher. Now, we've heard about cooperative banks. You have your money in a savings institution in a small town that has a color at the beginning of it. Okay? And then you come down here, and there's a saving institution here that has a cooperative agreement with them. That's fine, but that only extends in this small area. And what you're going to do, if these fees get too high, you're going to destroy your local banks, your small local banks, because the national regional banks won't charge you a fee, and you say, well, I need to move all my money over to them. So, and all that money is going to go to the big regional banks, and the small banks are the local banks are the ones that are going to get hurt by this. And I would urge you to support the amendment. We need to protect our citizens, and we need to protect our small hometown banks. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For first time, Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, against the amendment and for the bill, I was on the Minerals Committee when this thing took place. Set it up. Huge mistake. We need to let the free market decide things. And it's also, this is a private ownership issue. And if you want to complain about some high prices, little guy that's in charge of TRW in the House, go complain to him. Especially if we do this the way it should, the free market drives the issue. And there are ATMs that are put in remote places at the demand of the consumer. And they're put out there at a high cost. And that's why that price is there. And that same person or people that own these machines could set a lower price in a different place and the higher price in that place. And it isn't trying to gouge people. It's the idea that it takes money to operate that. And it's a free market. That's the way it goes. And I think we made a mistake when we even put a fee on there. And I think the way this bill is, way to go, folks. Vote for the bill and against the amendment.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, I'll just try to touch a couple of things that weren't addressed. Just a quick reminder to the body. These fees are still regulated by the commission. Every ATM has to be registered with the Banking Commission. Also, to remind you, the bill still contains that provision that there has to be a placard telling you what that fee is. And before you complete your transaction electronically, it tells you what that fee is. So the issue comes down to, really, we allow the market to dictate, as we've discussed, but there are going to be more remote locations where these fees may be increased. It just allows us to have the convenience for the use of those. So I think everything else has been addressed and discussed very well. Thank you.
Chairman Brown, first time.
Mr. Speaker, against the amendment and on the bill, just some quick points. Number one, we're apparently the only nation in the only state in the nation that sets an ATM fee, and I read that in the paper this morning, so I know it's true. Number two, and more distressing, I haven't heard a single person up here this morning come up here and talk about costs. And I don't understand how you can sit here and set fees on something without taking into account cost. And if the objective of this fee is to make this service available to people, then how can you disregard cost? Because if cost goes above the fee, then the machines will disappear. I haven't heard a single person take costs into account. And I talked to our CEO this morning, who spent more time with the bill sponsor than he spent with me. And he tells me within 2 years they've got to change out all the ATMs because of the other consumer legislation that's coming. Namely, these things have to be capable of being used by the blind, and they also have to have voice recognition technology in them so that somebody can use the machine with voice commands. How much is that going to cost? Isn't it fair to take that into consideration before you just start setting a fee on here? So, for those two reasons, and the fact that the free market ought to govern, I hope that you'll defeat this amendment and vote for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the good sponsor. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hear some very good points being brought out. The one in particular about the free market. And, you know, just in the last 4 weeks, I've seen what the free market has done to the price of gasoline for no other apparent reason than the news media has decided that they want to show us what's going on in that part of the world where most of the petroleum products are refined. I believe that if we really do take the lid off this, like some people are suggesting, that the free market will dictate a price somewhere around $10, and probably even higher than that. There's also some good points about putting these out in the remote locations in Wyoming, the cost that's associated with that. I understand that, and so do these people who own these things. For every one that they put out in a remote location, they probably have four or five that are in urban locations that just make a lot of money. And that's part of business. You learn how to get your business where those places that don't make the profit that you're looking for, you get into other locations where you can make a sizable profit to offset that for the convenience sake. I really do believe that we need to caps on these ATM fees. Yes, we probably are the only place in the country that does this, but at the end of the day, we're looking out for the people who live in this state and the people who come here to visit. And I think we, as they say outside this building, we need their backs. So on and for the amendment, and thank you for the debate.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 108, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third, okay, yeah, thanks for doing that. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed? Thank you. The amendment has failed. Senate File 108, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
No.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell. Kennedy, Childers, Connolly, Kraft, Davison excused, Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay excused, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker,
aye.
Krohn,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson, Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Ronish,
no.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 12 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 108, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 108 has passed the House. We're at that order of business adoption of conference committee reports. And the first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Number 1 on House Bill 18. And I will call on Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, the House Bill 18, and ask you to vote aye. Previously, I'd asked you not to concur on the amendments made down on the other body because I was concerned about the placement of that amendment in the section in the bill. I was concerned that it would limit the authority of the state veterinarian with respect to the issue that was at hand, and that had to do with their ability to test, treat, vaccinate animals, not only those that are within the state, but those that have been imported into the state. So the Joint Conference Committee met, and we changed the placement of their language, and the Conference Committee agreed that this did clarify what our concern was. So I would ask again that you would vote aye on the Joint Conference Committee report to House Bill 18. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to House Bill 18. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe. Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 to House Bill 18. The next report for our consideration will be Joint Conference Committee number 1 on House Bill 109. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Bill 109 and ask for your favorable consideration. There was some good work that was done, and I'd ask that the explanation of the material in front of you be explained by the House District 46 representative.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The key issue on the difference between the House and the Senate language dealt with how we make clear that we, now that we've adopted an appropriation system for both for the infrastructure authority, how do we make sure that that money is used constitutionally, not used for internal works of internal improvements, but that they are given the freedom to continue the good work that they have been doing in, you know, public awareness and education and doing research and planning, all those sorts of things. And so we really went back and forth, had a great deal of discussion both about the case law and the constitutional limits of their expenditures and what they were doing right now. And so we adopted the Senate language, but what we also did is we clarified that those administrative purposes for which they could use the appropriation included all the planning and research and that sort of thing that they are currently doing. And it seems to be a pretty good balance, and so I'd urge the body's aye vote.
All right. We are voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to House Bill 109. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund. Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, excused. Gingrey. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley. Peasley.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Steward.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne. Throne. Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1, report to House Bill 109. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee report number 1 on House Bill 113. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that for conference concurrence on House Bill 113 and ask for your favorable consideration. The exact same arguments for the amendment that you have in front of you, and while the two bills are not mirror, they're similar, and the explanation of what they do was handled earlier, and urge your aye vote for the concurrence.
We are voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1's report to House Bill 113. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingrey.
Aye.
Goggles. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg. Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 113. We are at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Brothers and sisters of the 61st, please move Senate File Number 62 after Senate File Number 9, so it will be the third bill we discuss. Please move Senate File 73 after Senate File 62, so your order will be Senate File 146, Senate File 9, Senate File 62, Senate File 73, Senate File 115. I would like the body to proceed and finish Senate File 119, so at whatever time of the day it is that we've completed Senate File 119, I will move to rise and report. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Blickrey.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor, please.
Go ahead.
Amy Sorensen and some of her students from Crest Hill Elementary School in Casper are in the West Gallery. I don't have the names of all the students, but if they would wave at us, we'd get a good look at one of the better schools in the whole state, Crest Hill.
The Committee of the Whole will come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 146. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 146, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to Teacher Contracts and Accountability Act.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 146 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. The Standing Committee Amendment appears on page 4, line 13, and I will explain the Standing Committee Amendment as I explain the bill. For me to adequately explain this bill in a way that everyone can understand it, I'm going to jump around quite a bit inside the bill. I will try to remind you what page I'm on when I'm explaining what portion, but this is a complex piece of legislation. Senate File 146 came out of the effort of many of us that were looking at our 10-year laws and how our 10-year laws are interacting with our academic performance and our ability to deal with teachers that are not performing at the level that we think they should. I'd like to begin the discussion by taking a look at some of the legislative findings that you'll find on page 11 through 13, and I will briefly describe those findings to you. In the findings, we talk about teacher tenure and how it was intended to protect competent teachers from arbitrary termination for reasons that are unrelated to job performance. And that's essentially where our 10-year laws came from. I think there was a period of time in state history where we had some abuse that was going on. And so the attempt was made to try and protect teachers from being arbitrarily fired. With the absence of clear, coherent criteria to measure job performance, tenure, however, has become a guarantee of employment. Districts are frustrated statewide with the difficulty in removing non-performing teachers. The process is complex, time-consuming, and legally challenging. The law should provide protection to performing teachers and give struggling teachers a fair opportunity to improve their quality of instruction. Current law goes beyond the intended purpose, however, and provides an obstacle to remove non-performing teachers, which creates greater demands on performing teachers. The Teacher Accountability Act is designed to create a teacher performance evaluation system that is based upon student achievement. The Act ties directly to Senate File 70, which we'll be presenting next week. My hope was to do it right after this bill, but we had to re-refer the bill to appropriations. As it ties to Senate File 70 and uses the statewide accountability system and assessment measures that we create in that piece of legislation within that system to create student achievement and effectiveness, to create measures to measure student achievement and effectiveness of classroom teachers. Some of the key features of this legislation require the state board to develop an annual teacher performance evaluation system that you'll find on page 2. It is based in part on student academic growth measures, and that ties back to the good piece of legislation that the majority floor leader brought this body that we have worked into Senate File 70 to measure growth models. And it also relies heavily upon longitudinal data systems that link student achievement with teachers of record. The concept of teachers of record is the idea that you actually are able to identify which student is being taught by which teacher. That sounds like it might be something simple and easy to do, but in fact it's very complex. And as we move forward through the interim, we will be investigating systems that will better allow us to identify which students are tied to which teachers of record. It also, the bill clearly prescribes standards for satisfactory and unsatisfactory performance, and the system allows for a reasonable opportunity for mentoring and professional development activities for teachers designed to improve instruction and student achievement, and that's all found on page 3. Also on page 3 and 4, we require districts to evaluate teacher performance based in part on standards that are set by the state board, and we really do give the state board the opportunity to set all of that up on page 2, 3, and 4. Inside that evaluation, we are going to look at initial contact teachers, which are those teachers that have only been hired by the districts for the first 3 years to be evaluated twice annually. Those teachers are teachers that have not been extended the continuing contract status, are not tenured, and can be let go at will for the first 3 years. That's the system that we have. The other system evaluation allows continuing contract teachers to be evaluated on an annual basis. We really have had difficulty in this state providing consistent and reliable teacher evaluation. For us to be able to base a system like this on teacher evaluation, we are going to have to take a serious and hard look at developing evaluation systems that are standardized across the state so that when we say this teacher is performing at this rate in this district, it means the same thing as this teacher performing at this rate in this district. That's how this bill is also intertwined with 70. We're going to tackle that during the interim next year. These bills are very interrelated and very much relying on each other. The House Standing Committee amendment is, as I said, intertwined into the bill on page 4, and it requires the school district superintendent to report to the school board in writing, identifying annually all those teachers whose performance evaluations are inadequate and unsatisfactory. We wanted to make sure that the local districts, the board members, the people that really do run the districts, get that information. That report shall be in a summary of mentoring and professional development activities, and that were also made available to those teachers so that they had the opportunity to improve the quality of their instruction. School boards shall file a report with the Wyoming Department of Education no later than June 1st. That's the other thing that the amendment does of each year, certifying compliance with this requirement. We want to make sure that all of our districts are on board and up to speed with the new system, and that's what the Standing Committee Amendment does. At this point, I would call for the question or answer any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you. The other thing that the bill does is it clarifies reasons for suspension, dismissal, or termination on pages 6 and 7. In existing language, we can currently terminate a teacher for incompetence. We can terminate a teacher for neglect of duty. We clarify on page 6 and 7 with the Senate amendments immorality, including sexual relations with students. I don't think anyone can debate that. Also on page 6 and 7, we have existing language dealing with insubordination. We added to that section physical incapacity to perform duty. If you just physically can't get yourself to your work to do your job. Also, failure to perform duties satisfactorily. That was added. We also added inadequate performance on annual performance evaluations that are tied to the student academic growth. That really is the key piece that was added and ties student performance back to teacher. There are concerns and valid concerns, and I have concerns about what that's going to look like. We've got to have a little bit of faith that as we move forward, because this bill does not create a hard and fast evaluation system, we will settle that during the budget session next year is my hope. And we also clarified that for any other good and just cause related to the educational process. I believe it said any good and just cause before we added related to the educational process, just to clarify. On pages 8 and 9, we require hearings for termination, dismissal, and suspension shall be provided through the Office of Administrative Hearings. This is another big change. Hearings are to be conducted in accordance with OAH rules for contested case proceedings, and the district will pay the cost of the OAH hearing. Currently, districts are required to find their own hearing officer and set up their own hearings. The thought is that if we allow OAH to do the contested case proceedings, it will lessen some of the burden that the district currently has, because those hearings will be conducted by that agency. That being said, we need to take a look further at what those costs are. One of the concerns that I have is I don't want districts to refuse to go through the hearing process because of any consideration for cost. I am trying to figure out what that looks like right now. We don't have enough data, but I would suggest that we compensate the districts for any costs related with the OAH hearing process. They shouldn't have to pay that out of their block grant, but I don't have an amendment at this time to do that. The Act also applies to all teacher contracts from and after July 1st, 2012. If Senate File 70 is enacted into law, it will require the Select Committee on Accountability to study the use of statewide accountability system for the annual evaluations. And as I said before, that will be ironed out during the next interim. The Select Committee will also is going to be required to recommend changes to the Teacher Accountability Act, which will provide a consistent, reliable, and clear definition for the evaluation process to measure teacher performance that is going to be based upon these growth models that we talked about previously. That essentially is a brief explanation of a very complex piece of legislation. Many of the unanswered questions will be answered as we continue to study these issues in Senate File 70. This bill really does get the ball rolling, but does not implement what we will have in finality. That will be determined at a later case. So I would urge your adoption and support of the bill. And I think it moves us in the right direction. It doesn't go quite as far as many of us had hoped to go initially, but it's more of a measured approach. I think it's something that we can all agree on. And I think in the end, our students will be better served by this system. So I would ask for your aye vote.
Representative Batten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the sponsor, the chairman of the committee, help us out with a little bit of the explanation of the administrative hearings, in particular the Office of Hearings? How is that going to be located and where, and the location of availability of it to the districts, all 48?
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good question. The Office of Administrative Hearings is located in Cheyenne. My hope and understanding is that they do travel throughout the state, and so they will be able to provide hearing officers for these hearings and will be able to travel to the districts if the district chooses. If the district does not want to have the hearing in the local district, they'd rather have the district in Cheyenne. My understanding is that that option will be left open to them. We have many people that are certified to do these hearings statewide. The big difficulty that many of the districts explained to us was the process of selecting a hearing officer and conducting the hearings. That was one of the biggest obstacles that they had in working their way through the current continued contract law. By allowing the Office of Administrative Hearings to deal with it, they'll be able to either travel to Cheyenne or we will be able to send a hearing officer to the local district.
Mr. You can't see me.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sort of behind the rooster and behind the taller people back here. I just wanted to state a little more affirmatively that the good chairman of education is correct. The OAH does provide hearing examiners statewide. I don't think there's any question about that. They do it for a number of agencies.
Representative Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had some questions, if that's a good time to list them. One was, if you look in the repealers over in Section 2, two of the repealers was having to do with the hearings. The one repealer is it put the burden on the school district, and the other repealer was that they had to issue an order within 20 days after the hearing. I went and looked real quick, and I don't see that in the OAH rules. So I'm just wondering if it would be okay if we brought something back to sort of clarify that. I'm not sure if we can do the 20-day one because I'm not sure OAH sometimes gets a little behind, especially because they had their other obligations. The one I had more questions about was the repealer, and maybe I'm just not understanding the bill very well. It had the repealer for that you had no duty to do a hearing for a person who did not have a continuing contract. So if you just were an initial teacher, they didn't have to do a hearing for you. That appears to be taken out through the repealers. I'm just wondering if I'm understanding correctly that you have to now give those people a hearing too. So that would be my first question on that. My second question is more a philosophical question. We don't normally do findings of fact. Now the whole Section 4 are findings, and you see those a lot in a lot of model bills that come from other states, and we usually take those out. I'm just wondering, was there a good legal reason, perhaps, for leaving that in? And I just wanted that clarified. And then my last question was over – oh, that's sort of a longer question. Over on the section on what you can fire the person for, from on page 6 and 7, and I see that incompetency is there and neglect of duty is there, and they're both from the previous law. But you came up with much better language down on line 17 and 18, Romanet 6. You have failure to perform duties in a satisfactory manner. I thought that language was really good, and it sort of encompasses in incompetency and neglect of duty. I was wondering if we could just delete out incompetency and neglect of duty, because they're hard to define, and I think you've defined it much better with your new language in Romanet 6. So that was that one. And then on your immorality part, and I know that's in the current statute, I'm just wondering if we could delete immorality and put in unlawful activity, and maybe even put in conviction of a felony. I went through and looked, and I found where the doctors use conviction of a felony, and this doesn't have it. Actually, I almost think this is almost limiting them too much, because it's only, well, the first one is having sex with a student there. The second one is if you're at 12-6-101, if you're giving alcohol to a kid, and the last one's if you're giving drugs to a kid. I'm just wondering if there's other crimes too, like a felony, just any felony should be in there. I think those are all my questions. I'll stop at this point because I probably burdened up the poor chairman with way too many already.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you. As far as the issue with the felony goes, if you commit a felony, your teaching license is going to be revoked by PTSB, so I don't think that's an issue. The issue with immorality, and I would be opposed to changing the word from immorality to something illegal, because the word immorality can be interpreted to be something that is clearly immoral but not illegal. And we have not seen an abuse with this language, and so I would prefer that we leave it alone. And I am a little bit dismayed and bogged down by the number of questions. So if the majority, the good Speaker Pro Tem, could come back to the podium, maybe we could go back and forth a little bit. I think that would be more productive. I was trying to keep up with you on my notes. So maybe you could return to the podium. If you go to page 9, line 8, we talk about how in no event shall a hearing commence on a date later than 45 days after the notice. I think that deals with one of his concerns about one of the repealers. I am concerned about your issue, or the good Speaker Pro Tem's issue with the language that potentially repeals and would extend the hearing to those within the initial contract. So we definitely need to get together and make sure that we're not doing that. It is not the intention of the committee or the sponsor of the bill to add more burdens and make it more difficult to terminate an initial contract teacher. We need to make sure that's for sure, and I don't have an answer for him right there. And if you could just give me one question at a time, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
I guess just the other one was just the findings. Did you need those findings? Was there some testimony as to why you needed those? Or can we take those out?
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as the findings go, that was what the Senate put in. I'm not a legal eagle when it comes to whether or not we should or should not have findings. To me, they provide clarity for those people reading the legislation. And I would suggest that maybe we speak with the sponsor of the bill on the Senate side. He gave some testimony that he knew that it was somewhat unorthodox to do, but he felt in this particular situation that it was valuable. So we left them in the committee.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to ask a question as regards to the section on, let me find my place here. That was termination. Let me say it this way. The termination would happen on or before April 15th. Then they have 45 days, which is June 1, to complete the hearing. And then after the hearing, how long does it take for the hearing to produce a result for the teacher that's being terminated or dismissed? And my concern is that the individual teacher that's being terminated or dismissed has to look for other employment. So we're talking about that this process getting into the summer months. If you could just answer that quickly for me, I'd appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Minority Floor Leader. The hearing process, once it begins, there's no way to know how long it's going to last. We've had some of them last up to 2 years in this state. That person will continue to be able to teach in the district unless they've been suspended with pay. And if they're suspended with pay, they're not in the classroom, but they're still employed by the district. If you suspend a teacher without pay, you have to go through the hearing process to do that. So that's not happening. If somebody's going to go through the hearing process and they're going to go to the effort of trying to suspend someone without pay, if there are that many grievances, they're going to try and terminate the teacher anyway. So that's kind of where we're at. If you'd like to look at a limited hearing process, we could do that and shorten it up. But we've been down that road.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good chairman is doing a good job in explaining it, and that's appreciated. My question to you is on section 4 on page 11, which is kind of unusual to find in the statutes as opposed to being more conversational than it is statutory. And I question the presence of it in the final draft.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Once again, on the findings on page 11, 12, 13, and 14, or actually just through page 13, through line 10 on page 13, those findings are something that we don't see a lot of that was done by the Senate. They have no real bearing on the bill, in my opinion. And if you're not comfortable with that precedent, I would be happy to take them out. I think it does provide some background for all of us to be able to read and understand how we got where we are, and I think that's why they were put there.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move first reading, Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 146, Teacher Accountability Act, and ask for your favorable consideration. This addresses some of what we've been talking about up to this point. This amendment actually began as a House bill here quite a while ago and was declared a bill of conflict when it got to the other side. So with that in mind, I bring this back now as an amendment to add to this particular file. It begins on page 1 under Act, where it talks about the definition of the bill. On line 9, after termination, it inserts the words, requiring an investigation of grounds for suspicion or dismissal. So it now reads, modifying grounds for teacher suspension, dismissal, and termination, requiring an investigation of grounds for suspension and dismissal, requiring Office of Administrative Hearings to preside over teacher's dismissal. Page 2, line 3, we're under the Wyoming statutes right there. We delete the letter C and the word and insert through. So it reads 21-7-110A through D. Now, the good chairman spoke about definitions on page 6. About what teachers could be fired for, and the new definitions have been added to it. And so this actual amendment is inserted on page 8 after line 2 and is now called B, and this is what it says. If a board proposes the suspension or dismissal of a teacher under subsection A of this section, the teacher shall be notified of the proposed suspension of or dismissal and shall be immediately suspended with pay, pending the outcome of an investigation by the superintendent or his designee into the alleged misconduct or other reasons for suspension or for dismissal. Following the investigation, the superintendent shall recommend reinstatement or shall initiate, then you have to look at on line 19 and put that word right in the middle there, by, shall initiate by himself or by any member of the board designated by the superintendent, or designated by the board pursuant to a majority vote of the board, suspension or dismissal proceedings by delivering to the teacher a written notice of the findings of the outcome of the investigation conducted by the superintendent or his designee, and notice that proceedings under subsection C, which he's talked about, which is the hearing one, of this section has been initiated. During dependency of the proceedings, the teacher shall remain on suspension with pay. A teacher shall not be suspended without pay prior to the conclusion of a hearing held pursuant to subsection C of this in this section. Now, this really came about because the law right now simply states that a teacher can be suspended with pay pending the outcome of a hearing. So they cannot actually be suspended during the investigation. And so in protection for both the students and the teacher, I propose this amendment. We'll stand for questions at this time.
We are on committee of the whole amendment number 1. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question, I guess. One of the current concerns I have is that it appears now with this amendment that you're allowing districts to go ahead and they will suspend or dismiss a teacher, make that decision, and then investigate the conduct, which seems to me a little backwards. I know in our school board, you know, before you have in B as it is written, before you have the dismissal, the decision to dismiss or suspend, you have the investigation before that. That happens, and then they're on paid leave pending a hearing. But when you have an amendment that says they'll make that decision and then the superintendent will go out and investigate it, it causes me some concern and just maybe some more explanation on that.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Really, the amendment doesn't read that way because it simply says that they're going to suspend, propose to suspend or dismiss. Once again, the way the law reads right now, they cannot suspend or dismiss a teacher prior to the outcome of a hearing. And this amendment is simply to allow the board or the superintendent to suspend the teacher during the investigation and the hearing. So, as noted in the definitions to begin with, it says suspension with pay means, where do I put that? Removal of a teacher from the classroom without the termination of salary, pending the outcome of a hearing in accordance with the statute. So it's really not dismissing the teacher, because they still have to go through the due process of a hearing to be suspended or be terminated.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you. And just to clarify, we're dealing with proposed suspensions. I don't know how else we define it, but the issue is you cannot remove a teacher from the classroom with pay without a hearing currently. This amendment is a mirror to the bill that we worked on diligently in the House that would allow a superintendent to remove a teacher from a classroom with pay pending a hearing. And I would call for the question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Wallace.
I'll make this really quick. I just commend the chairman and the team for dealing with this very, very critical issue. As a parent, we raised 7 kids. We experienced years of absolutely the most wonderful and fabulous teachers who ever hit God's green earth, but we also endured years of incompetent teachers who should never have been in the classroom. And I can tell you from personal experience that the frustration of trying to deal with those issues with an inflexible administration and an inflexible system that didn't allow for those people to be evaluated was heartrending and distressing. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and of many of my constituents' hearts for bringing this to our attention.
Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this bill also does one other thing. We keep talking about teachers. This bill says to administrators, you will do these certain things before, and you will evaluate teachers. And this, I do not believe, has really been occurring in a lot of the schools like it should be. So I think this is a strong point of this bill. On and for the bill.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I look at this bill, I think it's a good bill, too, but there seems to be one hole in it, and that is what options do school districts have for a continuing contract teacher that gets a unsatisfactory evaluation. You know, it looks to me like the only option is you have to, dismiss the teacher for being incompetent, or there is some kind of a reference on the bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3 says that the school district shall include reasonable opportunity for district provision of mentoring and other professional development activities made available to teachers performing unsatisfactorily. To me, that's the only consequence that is in there to improve a teacher short of terminating them. And I just wonder if there's a mechanism in there to dealing with an underperforming teacher and whether there's an incentive to really make any improvements, unless they worry about the risk of having too many in a row causing a dismissal. I can't see that we're quite tackling that thing, but maybe we'll have some discussion on that.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the good Education Committee Chairman. I too am pleased with the thrust of the bill. The conversational part of the findings, I think we could amend without harming the purpose of the bill on second reading, and would suggest that we consider that. The one part that I find some conversation about that is troubling, and that is the hearing process. And as you have well described, the difficulty that is found in that. I am prepared to come with the second reading amendment that might address that and answer some of the problems. I'll be glad to share that with you and either withhold them or present it. Does not upset at all the purpose of the bill or the thrust of the bill, but perhaps give us an intermeaning period of time as opposed to the formality of the Administrative Procedures Act, which seems to be expensive as well as troubling to large and small schools. So with that, I am in support of the bill.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, and I'd just like to comment to the good gentleman from Sheridan. I appreciate his input, and I would look forward to any amendments that he might bring to help that process. I also would urge any of the other members that if you see a ways to improve this process or you have ideas that are a little bit farther outside of the box and where this bill goes, we would love to have that conversation on second reading.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the work that's been put into this bill, and really it's timely because we're certainly not the first state to kind of move in this direction. Most of the states have already gone here. The previous president, the current president, really a lot of it was initiated by the former governor of Florida, where we actually have objective measures tied to teacher evaluations. Teachers want it, administrators want it, and we finally are getting there with the technology to really link students and teachers. We're not there 100% yet. This won't happen all in all in just a few months, but it's a start down a process that where we need to go. And I tell you, folks are really in support of this. And I think also timely with the State Board of Education and the rewrite of the Chapter 29 rules, which are the evaluation rules, which take into account much of this bill. And so I think it's timely. I think it's well done. My only question, I might bring an amendment on the and I guess I want to learn more about it, maybe from our attorneys, but currently the teacher pays half the hearing costs. And in this bill, the school district pays the entire cost. And there might be an access issue, a due process issue, but that was one issue. But and as far as the findings, I think, I think they're pretty well stated. And I think it's things that the people we represent, I think, can understand that and appreciate that. As far as the unsatisfactory markings on an evaluation, really it goes to a plan of improvement. And if that doesn't work, it's termination. And, 500 teachers a year leave the profession in Wyoming, not retirement. I mean, they leave. And many of them say, hey, it's time for you to resign. That's how a lot of these happen. They don't go through the process. Most folks quietly say, hey, this isn't going to work. And if I don't resign, termination is going to be coming next. So most folks resign. And then just the statistics from the federal government, we're at about 97 teachers a year get terminated. And so the next process then is to fire teachers. If it's unsatisfactory and the plan of improvement doesn't work, you're going to get fired. That's the way it currently works as well. So I appreciate the work's been put into this and look forward to it becoming law. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a simple question. How much does a hearing cost? And if the district's paying for it, what part of the block grant does that come out of? How will this expedite hearings? Can you talk a little bit more about the hearing process?
Mr. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you. The hearing process has been one of my largest concerns all along because it depends on who you talk to, but there are hearings that have been conducted recently that cost up to $100,000 to conduct. And I'm preferential to looking at some form of limited hearing that provides due process. That's the direction I personally think we should go. We'll have that conversation probably on second reading. But they are expensive, and I was unaware of the conversation about the fact that teachers are currently required to pay half. If that's the way it is, I think that's the way we should keep it. I think what's fair is fair, and that'd be another good second reading amendment.
Chairman Childers?
Well, Mr. Chairman, having spent almost half my career in a supervisory position for a company, and in discussing supervision of employees with that company, the word document was repeated time after time after time. And if a supervisor documented the evaluation of the employees, if there had to be changes made to that employee, whether it be a promotion or a demotion or even termination, documentation played a very important part of that. Very important part. If you didn't do the documentation, you were in trouble. Number one, that employee could step back and sue. And typically you're going to settle the lawsuit or you're going to lose the lawsuit. And also, if you didn't document my supervisors or the upper management of the company, I'll guarantee you, you were in trouble. And they should have been in trouble. I made it a choice in my career to document, good and bad, to document. This bill does that. If it doesn't do enough to make sure that the superintendents and principals aren't checked on their documentation procedures, we better do it. And if it costs $100,000, I don't care if it costs 10 times that. This is a good bill. Vote for it.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you. I just want to clarify that the administrative hearings process, for those of you that are not aware of, is an evidentiary trial hearing with evidence, attorneys, people on both sides, and that hearing requires a very high standard. The level of documentation that's required is to the point of onerous, in my opinion, and that provides more than adequate protection.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chair. As we've gone through this, and I was part of this on the Education Committee, I just really think we're headed in the right direction. One of my favorite things that I learned is teachers that care and principals that will evaluate. And I think, by and large, we do have great teachers. And I think one of the things that this bill helps with is trying to get the principals a little more involved, walking in and out, checking. And if the state board has to set up an evaluation tool or the district, so we're a little bit consistent on that. I think the evaluation tool is the key to this thing, and the principals being involved with what's going on in the class, the time on task, the just organization, and I think a principal can do that if they're involved with the whole process. So I just think the good chair and the whole study that's been coming has really tried to emphasize the importance of the principal and those evaluations being meaningful and good things that could use to improve or to dismiss both. So I just think we're headed way in the right direction and appreciate the time that folks have put in coming up with this. I hope we can just continue to work on it, make it better, and education goes up in the state. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Teeters' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 146 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate file 146 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor, please.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have some special guests here today, and I want you all to rise and welcome them. We have some visitors from the Little Snake Valley, the School of Bags, Tommy Sue Wiley's, Willie's. Fifth grade class, 18 students came over here today to see everybody.
Mr. Floor Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 1:30 p.m.
The Committee of the Whole will convene again at 1:30 p.m.
I have a committee.
Oh, sorry. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet immediately upon noon recess in H-10 for consideration of Senate File 38, School Athletic Safety, and Senate File 118, Career and Technical Training Grants.
Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 2 will meet immediately upon lunch adjournment.
Madam Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Labor Committee will meet right now in room 817 to discuss 2 bills. Grab something, bring it up to eat.
Madam Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the Joint Conference Committee for House Bill 124 will meet upon recess of the Senate in Senate Room 14.
The committee, Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet Tuesday upon noon recess in Room H-10 as a joint committee meeting with the Senate to discuss interim topics.
The committee of the whole will adjourn and convene again at 1:30 p.m.